Peace be with you. Welcome to The Dean Show. Subscribe if you haven't already. My next guest didn't want to have anything to do with religion, turned away from religion. It's very interesting. Until someone came preaching to him about religion, and not about Islam, actually calling him to believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And this was a Christian giving him dawah, and then he came back to Islam. You also know his brother who used to be in a punk rock band. I got a surprise for you with my next guest here on The Dean Show. Don't go anywhere.
This is The Dean Show.
Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Now, the surprise was, it's not, many have watched the show we did from punk rock to Islam. Mm-hmm. People like see Taslim, it's actually not Saad, but Fahad.
That's right.
So you're Saad's brother?
Yes, that's right.
Older brother?
Older brother, yes, that's right.
So you used to look down on people of religion, or used to turn away from religion, didn't want to have anything to do with religion?
Yeah, there was a point where, especially after college, around my college age, I didn't want anything to do with people of religion. If I saw someone, you know, with a beard or anything like that, I'd just be like, I need to stay away from this person. They're probably crazy. They're going to tell me to do things I probably don't want to do. And so I would just kind of look down upon people, and that's where I was until, like, my first job.
Even right now, many people, when you say religion, a lot of people want to tune out because they think they're going to hear something weird, something like mystical, esoteric, something that is not comprehensible. But why is it now like... And that's pretty typical. People in the universities, you know, imitating the professors. You know, one professor went towards atheism to justify, you know, whatever he was doing. Someone else followed along. And that's like the cool thing.
Absolutely.
But when you talk about religion, it's not cool. What's up with that?
Well, I mean, that has, you know, I would say, has historical precedence. I mean, when you look at, when you do any sort of a study of, let's say, like the history of science, for instance, you'll see that there was a certain time in Europe when there was this kind of, you know, back and forth between religion and science. And a lot of that has kind of stuck and that has permeated down, come down to us today, where culturally it's not very couth or not very cool to be religious anymore, because religion is kind of tied to being ignorant in a way. But a lot of that is a throwback to Europe and you know, some of the issues that were, you know, that the West specifically dealt with in Europe at that time.
So. I think Islam is the coolest thing.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
it's rational, it's logical, it provides all of the... I mean, look, we're going to die. Yeah. You know, we're going to leave all of this entertainment and all of these things of the world behind.
Sure.
So, I mean, there's got to be something more, I mean, than just play and amusement. And Islam answers all those questions that are riddling the mind.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously you found out the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, going back to the lady, my manager, actually, she came up to me and, you know, she said, you know, you're a Muslim. And I was like, yeah, I'm Muslim. I don't really practice much. And then she started preaching to me about, you know, Christianity and loving Jesus and all these things. And then she's like, you know, he was the son of God. And you know, at the time, I didn't really know much about Islam, but I knew that what she was saying was... It didn't really make sense to me at all. I mean, what she was saying didn't really make sense. But that's when I actually started studying Islam. And when I started studying Islam, you know, I just kind of fell in love with it. And there was kind of no stopping after that point.
Yeah. Now, you have everyone, for instance, someone of the Christian faith, they will tell you, okay, believe in Jesus, your Lord and Savior,
sure.
And then you have a ticket to paradise.
Sure.
Okay, that's one worldview.
Sure.
And an intelligent person, he would want to examine, you know, the different claims that are out there. What's the atheist claim? Like, after, because we die, and then, so Islam is saying, okay, after you die. And to me, when I investigated all the different world religions, there's got to be one that's not counterfeit, that's not man-made, that is from the Creator.
Sure.
And it's got to be based on proof, it's got to be authentic, it has to make sense also.
Right.
And Islam answered all those questions, that after I leave this world, this short world, because people are dying right now as we speak, you're not guaranteed tomorrow. So what does the, before I get into this, what does the atheist, what's his answer to after we leave this life?
Well, what's really interesting is that there's no, you know, when you dig really deep into atheism, you really don't find like a pure atheist. What you would have is maybe an extreme agnostic at best, because there is no, you can say, like, positive case to affirm the non-existence of God. Like, you can't positively say that. What you can say is you can critique religion, you can critique, you know, people that believe in God or whatever it may be, but for you to form a positive case, it's just not there. You know, and one of the things that I found really interesting is one of the ayahs in the Quran, one of the verses in the Quran, where Allah addresses atheism, right? And the Arabic goes something like, "Am khuliqu min ghayri shay, am humul khaliqun, am khalaqa as-samawati wal ard bal la yuqinun." That were they created from nothing, or did they create themselves, or did they create the heavens and the earth? No, rather they are uncertain. What I thought was interesting, aside from the argument itself, was the fact that Allah, God, uses the term uncertain, in the sense that it's not that they don't know, otherwise God would have said, la ya'lamun, they don't know, but la yuqinun, they're not certain. So atheism, it doesn't lead to a position of certainty. You can't be an absolute atheist in the sense that you know for a fact that God doesn't exist. So, I mean, with the atheist narrative, you're never going to get a position of certainty by any means.
Now, what would you consider, you said you're a Muslim, and yeah, many people can relate to this. They're in the universities, sure, you know, focusing on the degree, and parents didn't really connect them with their creator. They went through some traditions, the movements, didn't really know what they were saying.
Sure.
But if you ask them, they put down paper Muslim, but we know Muslim is one who surrenders consciously to the will of God. How would you have classified yourselves at that time?
Oh, you mean before I met my manager and all of that?
Yeah, would you say I was a part-time Muslim? I was, you know...
Yeah, probably a part-time Muslim, maybe...
A Jummah Muslim, what would you say?
A pseudo Jummah Muslim, if that's what you want to call
it. We know these terms are fake terms.
Of course, of course. So, yeah, I would go for Jummah, you know, once in a while, because maybe my friends were going, you know, and I had Muslim friends, and so they would be going for Jummah, and I would say, okay, well, I'll tag along, you know. Yeah. Not for the sermon, of course, just for the prayer, because you wanted to get only the prayer.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of where I was. Religiously, there wasn't really much there. I mean, you can say I believe in the existence of God, but beyond that, it was just, I just don't want to have anything to do with religion.
Yeah. We know that at one point, Islam was the superpower of the world.
Sure.
You can not only run the world with this, you can run your family, your own individual life, and at the end, there's a promise that if you live a peaceful life with your Creator, you do the things that He's told you to do, upright human being according to the guidance that God has sent, that there's a promise now of a great reward. And then you look at all the evidences, and at the end, Islam helps you to excel, to be the best.
Right.
All right. So let's say you live life as an atheist, you end up dying. At the end, if it's not true, nothing. If we die, if we don't, you know.
That's it. It's the end.
But on the other side, here you're living this life, it's helping you to become the best.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
There's a complete blueprint to live by. And at the end, here, you have a lot to lose if you're an atheist and all this is true and you're being lazy and not really sincerely investigating this. At
sure.
the end, your whole salvation is, I mean, at the end,
And at the end, it's just
finished.
You just die and you're dead, you know. I remember someone once said that, look, the atheist position is really interesting because it's three nothings.
Yeah.
You come from nothing, your purpose in life is nothing, and your end is nothing. So it's nothing and just a whole bunch of nothing.
It's just mind-boggling, riddling that I just can't wrap my mind around it. But I think that because with beliefs comes responsibility.
Absolutely.
So do you think also people now, because they don't want to, because if you believe in a creator, you're going to have to back this up with
obligation. Absolutely. No, I mean, absolutely. It comes with a responsibility. But I think maybe that may be one of the impediments for people considering religion at all, right? If I consider religion, well, then I may have something to do or some sort of obligation, and you know what? I don't want to do it right now. Right now, I just want to party, live it up, and you know, maybe when I get old, sure, I'll consider being a religious person or, you know, consider God even. But for right now, I'm just going to go with what's in vogue. And of course, what's in vogue is to not believe in God or just, you know, to be an atheist or whatever it may be. So I'm just going to live my life like that for now, and when it comes down to the end, then we'll figure it out at that point.
We have a lot more to talk about. When we mentioned the rock band. We talked about now someone actually Christian talking to you about Jesus.
Sure,
that
sure.
kind of triggered you to get back into religion. And I keep saying evidence, evidence, evidence.
Right.
Right? So we have a lot to talk about. Don't go anywhere. Right back here on The Dean Show.
Please subscribe to The Dean Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Dean Show by making a donation in the link below.
back here on the Dean Show. Okay, so continue on with the story. You're kind of, you said a pseudo Jummah Muslim, right?
Yeah, so I was a pseudo Jummah Muslim. You know, then I graduated from college. I got my first job, and I run into this, you know, this manager of mine. She's pushing Christianity down my throat, practically. Well, I shouldn't say down my throat, but, you know, she was pushing me to become Christian or consider Christianity. And I just, at the time, it didn't make any sense, you know, and what she was telling me, Jesus dying for your sins. You know, one thing that I remember having a conversation with someone, I said, look, if Jesus died for my sins, and is it a sin to not believe that he died for my sin? And the person said, yeah. And I said, so I'm good, right? Because he died for my sins, and that's a sin, so I don't have to worry about it. So anyway, but it didn't really resonate with me at all, you know. And then that's when I started explore Islam. It made sense. It, you know, just the things that I was dealing with in terms of whether it was personally, spiritually, socially, even economically, things that I was dealing with in my life, and it just started answering questions, you know, from one end to the other. So
amazing. Tell us, Rock Band, who was it in it? Now, was it your brother? Were you the lead person in the Rock Band?
I had nothing to do with the Rock Band.
So brother?
That was all him, yeah.
Okay, but you, this story that we did with your brother, yeah. You were the one helping to get him out from this lifestyle.
Well, of course, first and foremost, it was Allah that took him out of the lifestyle, you know. But yeah, you know, we would have kind of spirited conversations, especially when he was in the Rock Band, kind of what he was doing and, you know, the fact that he was in a Rock Band. And, you know, we'd go back and forth, you know, as brothers do. You know, brothers might typically argue about who gets the top bunk or whatever it is.
Yes.
And we would have kind of spirited conversations about religion and the purpose of life and, you know, all of that and where we're going and where we're going to end up and all of that. So
someone says, look, they just heard Rock Band. So what's wrong? I like rock music. YOLO, you only live once.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, sure, I mean, there's a lot of things that people like, but just because you like something doesn't mean it's always necessarily good for you. Second point is, doesn't mean you necessarily know what's good for you and what's not good for you in kind of this broad idea, right? You know, we read in the Quran, for instance, Allah says, "Wallahu ya'lamu wa antum la ta'lamun," that Allah knows, God knows, and you don't, right? In another verse, Allah says, "Wa ma utitu min al-ilmi illa qalila," we've given you a little bit of knowledge, right? This little bit of knowledge, God knows the entirety. So with this little knowledge, we always make decisions. We get angry based on this little bit of knowledge. We, you know, we're rash, we're impatient, and all of this is based on this little bit of knowledge. So if I was to say, look, there's something that's not good for you, and you say, well, that doesn't make any sense, well, where is it coming from? It's coming from someone that has knowledge that is vast, that is infinite, versus us, and we have this speck of knowledge, and we're making decisions based upon that. Does it make more sense to go with that which has infinite knowledge or to trust yourself on each occasion?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. You have drug addicts, they love drugs, they
yeah.
like it, but it's definitely not good for
absolutely,
them.
Absolutely.
You know, the criminals, a lot of them like stealing, many of them, and it's not actually good for them or society.
Absolutely.
But the Creator knows
exactly
what's good.
Exactly.
Yeah, that, and a lot of times you don't like working out, but it's good for you.
Yeah, you know, that's the example I give a lot of people. I'm like, yeah. Look, you want a six pack, right? Right now you have to go through pain to get your six pack,
exactly.
But in the end, the result is good, right? You look good. So
I mean, alhamdulillah, and this is a great thing because you never know when those good pieces, those good words, good advice will pay off, those good seeds that you planted, obviously, by the permission of the Creator of the heavens and earth, they sprouted. And your brother actually went on to study.
Absolutely, absolutely.
In
yeah.
Medina University,
yeah,
and
yeah.
So much good came out of it.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah. So tell us now, I mentioned evidence.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Many religions is just about blind faith. Just believe.
Sure.
You start talking about religion, and you know you get into some very important questions, authenticity.
Sure. Sure.
And you see that their arguments fall apart. You have a book that's not authentic, but Islam is different.
Islam absolutely.
But
Islam
are we just
different.
Saying that you're biased now because you're Muslim?
Well, no. I mean, yeah. I mean, definitely there is a slight bias there. But you know, Islam. One of the things that I really find beautiful about Islam is that it's rational and it's natural as well.
Mm.
And when I say that, now I'll give you an example of what I mean. You know, the other day I was at a masjid and the imam of the masjid asked me to speak to a young woman who was Christian. And she came in and, you know, she had certain contentions. And I said, look, let's just stop for a second. I want to ask you, when you give charity, how do you feel? And she said, I feel great. I said, look, in Islam, we have a concept of the natural state called the fitrah. And we believe that every human being is good. And that you are born in a state of goodness. In Christianity, you believe in the original sin. When you give charity, you should feel rotten. And she was like, that actually makes sense. And at the end, she actually became Muslim.
Wow.
So, yeah. So, I mean, it's natural and it's rational.
So what's more fascinating is when you say she became Muslim, she didn't leave the love of Jesus.
Oh, no, of course not.
Jesus practiced Islam and he was a Muslim.
Absolutely.
Clarify,
absolutely.
Please.
Well, I mean, when you speak to Christians, and one of the things that we always tell them, we say, look, you're not leaving the religion of Jesus. You are actually adopting the path of Jesus, like how he worshipped his creator. And you're following Jesus the best you possibly can. If he returned today, he would recognize you. He would see people prostrating. He would see people worshiping God, worshiping the person that, worshiping the being that he's worshiping, and you would be along with him. So you would be more Christ-like than perhaps you were before.
Now, is it true that the Quran has a challenge?
Sure.
It challenges the reader, someone who will claim that this is not from God, that there's things that you can do to try to disprove it.
Sure. I mean, the Quran makes the claim, you know, that if you feel that this is from other than God, then bring a chapter like it. In one verse, it says, bring one ayah like it, one verse like it. And one other chapter says, bring a Quran like it. So the challenge is there, and it's been there, you know, from the very get-go, and no one's really been able to meet it, right? And its challenge relates to its consistency internally and externally. Meaning when you read the Quran, it's not like it's going to tell you things that are just fantastic or crazy, right? There's your God is a green alien in the sky or whatever. And that's just like, whoa, that's crazy stuff. But when you read the Quran, it's consistent. Like I said, it has its basis in nature and the intellect. So when you read it and you look outside in the world around you, it's not going to contradict something external to the Quran, and internally, it's going to fit as well. There's going to be no contradictions inside as well.
And that's interesting. You mentioned green aliens and all this other stuff, and most people who go away, let's say, from Islam or the religion, and I can understand because there are a lot of, in these man-made religions, some hocus-pocus stuff that just is way out there.
It's really crazy.
But
yeah.
Some of these people who agnostic, atheists that call himself, when you start to, they come at you really rational, but when you start to, you know, really talk to them, they start talking about aliens and UFOs and all sorts of crazy
right,
stuff.
Exactly.
Have you
exactly. No, and absolutely. And, you know, that's kind of, you know, one of the things we talked about, the natural state of the human being. One of the things about the natural state is that the human naturally is inclined towards worship, right? Naturally inclined towards worshiping, and we would say the creator. But when that idea is not there, there's something else that needs to be replaced. And a lot of times those ideas that are replaced are aliens or a rabbit's foot or whatever it may be.
Yeah. So. We're going to take a break here on The Dean Show. Don't go anywhere.
Please subscribe to The Dean Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Dean Show by making a donation in the link below.
Back here on The Dean Show. So, Fahad, tell us that now you are in the university, and it's very challenging. You know, you have the whole world opens up to you. It reminds me of the hadith for the last and final messenger sent to mankind, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him.
Right.
When he sent Jibreel, alayhi salam, and he had showed Jahannam and also paradise,
right,
and what was surrounding both.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
And what was surrounding the hellfire were the desirable things that aren't good for you, but now what was surrounding
right.
Jannah,
right.
It was the undesirable things, the things
sure.
that are good for you now.
Right, right, right.
And you see people rushing towards the things that aren't good for you in a lot of the universities and just out there in this hypersexual society.
Absolutely, absolutely.
What are your thoughts on this?
Well, you know, I mean, related to the hadith, I mean, you know, that paradise is surrounded by things that are difficult to do, and the hellfire is surrounded by things that people desire, you know? And that's true. I mean, another hadith that you kind of just remind me of was where the Prophet, peace be upon him, he said that this world is a prison for the believers mm-hmm. and a paradise for the disbelievers. And I remember that there was an incident, I believe it was Hassan al-Basri or maybe Imam Shafi, I don't remember. But he was once riding along, and you know he was dressed well. He looked okay, and you know there was an old Jewish man who was you know a disheveled look. He was you know poor, and you know he grabbed the reins of Hassan al-Basri, and he said, you know, didn't your prophet say that this world is a prison for the believers and a paradise for the disbelievers? And he said, yeah, he did. He goes, so how do you explain my state? Like I'm poor, I'm disheveled, and Hassan al-Basri, he says to the man, he says, when I compare my state to paradise, I'm in a prison. And when you compare your state to the hellfire, you're in paradise right now. And the man was so overtaken with that, he basically became Muslim. So point being, I mean, that you know, there are things in this world that we're going to desire, no doubt about it. That's how we're created. But at the same time, if those desires aren't kept in check, then they can be disastrous. And especially disastrous in the long term, meaning what happens after you die. You know, if you don't keep your desires in check, there are serious ramifications for that, you know, when you meet your creator.
I mean, anything good that's of value that you want to accomplish, you want to get a PhD, even a GED, you got to do some studying.
Absolutely.
So it requires some effort, some work. You mentioned
right.
six-pack earlier.
Sure.
You
got
to work. You got to put some effort. Right. You can't do this thing on your own. That's why out of the love, God sent this guidance. And
of
we
course.
Talked about some of the proof and evidence is there.
Sure.
And it's there for us now once we determine this, and not by our own efforts. We ask the Creator and we're sincere, then He guides us. But now we got to stick to this. We got to get to know. Knowledge is so important.
Absolutely.
And then the
Absolutely.
Tools are there, everything we need to implement and things that we need to stay away from to become successful.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that guidance, I mean, here's the thing. When you think about, you know, life and you think about, okay, well, now I have all of these challenges and so on and so forth, it doesn't make sense that the Creator of the heavens and the earth would not send you guidance and to tell you like what you should do and what you shouldn't do, right? The Quran mentions that does he not know what he created? I mean, he brought us from a state of non-existence to a state of existence. He brought you up when you were nothing, right? When you were a child and you were dependent upon your parents and so on and so forth, and now you're this adult and you're thinking and you have this rationale, and now you're going to reject God? I mean, and then you say, well, there's nothing there. Well, no, of course not. There's something there. There's guidance that he sends in your way, you know, right? Guidance in the form of books and messengers. And for us, that's the Quran and the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him.
Tell us, you can't expect, you know, I ask people often, I say, look, you'd look kind of silly if you were 10 years, 12 years old and you're still in kindergarten, you know? or if you've just stayed like your whole life and at a certain level, you want to progress.
Absolutely.
But you can't progress if you're, you know, how important is this? If you're listening to Miley Cyrus all day, you're watching, you know, all day after work, during work, people will sit in their office, the accountant's got his screen here, watch some daytime, nighttime drama.
Sure.
In the car music, and you're not climbing the spiritual ladder. You're staying in that kindergarten. You're not training your mind. You're not growing.
Absolutely, absolutely.
How important is this?
It's very important. I mean, and remember, I was talking about this idea of, you know, the natural state of the human being. The human being craves spirituality. It craves a connection with its creator, right? But in order to establish that creation, that connection with the creator, there has to be guidance in order to do that, right? And there has to be a struggle to do that. Like you mentioned, like we were talking about earlier, any endeavor that you take upon yourself, whether it's to, you know, get a PhD, whether it's to, you know, get a six pack, it takes some work, you know. And I remember one example where the person said, imagine a sports person, they look really elegant, right? So a perfect jump shot, right? The guy takes it, boom, it looks beautiful. But what you don't see in that elegance is the years of hard work he put into it, right? It's just like that with spirituality. There's a lot of work that goes into it, but when you see someone spiritual, you almost recognize them. There's almost like a light on their face.
Beautiful. Yeah. I mean, this is really something to think about. I mean, most people, they try all of these other superficial things, and at the end, that void, it's that,
absolutely.
That emptiness is still there.
Absolutely.
Recently, I was reading an article, a multi-billionaire, he sold his company, and he's in you heard of Ibiza?
Yeah.
That's like the party central or something.
Right, okay.
And many of these people, they have all this money.
Sure.
And he was talking about how isolated he felt.
Yeah.
You know? And just, because that void, money can't fill that void.
Absolutely. It's an interesting paradox because it's the more money you have doesn't necessarily mean you have happiness or satisfaction.
Yeah.
You know, it's just contentment. That's what it's the real richness is contentment.
So now, after your journey, your story, now you mentioned wrapping up with the professor, was it, that was talking to you about?
No, it was my manager at the company I was working for.
Your manager.
Yeah, yeah.
At DL, summarizing, what happened then?
Well, after that, I mean, I guess initially when I started speaking to her, I was kind of, you know, I was new. I didn't really know much about, you know, religion, but I kept on criticizing Christianity to such an extent that I think I may have kind of rubbed her the wrong way. So, you know, I mean, we're still on good terms and things like that, and I'm still inviting her to consider Islam. And hopefully, God willing, that she will consider it, and you know, she'll see what it, for what it is, you know, the truth.
So you're now, also tell us about your organization.
Sure. So I'm part of an organization called the Islamic Education Research Academy, IERA for short. We do a lot of work specifically to outreach to non-Muslims, dawah to non-Muslims, calling people to the truth, you know, and from whatever socioeconomic, whatever religious background or non-religious background that you have. We do training in that regard as well to Muslims. We go to different communities, train them how exactly to call people to the truth, call people to Islam.
And this is about sharing. If you care for people, you want to share.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
How can people get involved if they...
If they want to get involved, it's IERA.org, IERA.org.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for being with
Thanks
us
a lot.
Here on the Deen Show. We started with
Appreciate
peace,
it.
We end with peace. Salam.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah.
And there you have it. Someone who went through the experience at the university, through life, and something's missing, and then somehow religion comes up and he went back to his roots. And you know what? Islam, we talked about, provides all of that evidence. And if you look at it, you know, it just leaves you with nowhere else to go but to submit to the one who created you. Because this way of life is clear, is rational. And for the one who follows another way, possibly not based on evidence and proof, and then you just follow your lusts and desires. Where are you going to end up? Where did Miley end up? Where's she ending up? Brittany, where did they end up? Just in a state of confusion, a state of loss. But get out of the darkness into the light by asking the owner of life to make things clear. And from there, take some time out to investigate, to seek out the truth, because at the end of the day, it'll be worth it. Death is a reality. We know that we're going to die. And at the end, where are we going? For the atheist or the agnostic, what, do we just fall asleep and then it's finished? It wouldn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. So if you still have any questions, call us. We have a number that you can call us and we can start a healthy dialogue. 1-800-662-ISLAM. Pick up from us. We'll mail you a free copy of the Quran. Read it for yourself. And subscribe if you haven't already. And tune in every week to the Deen Show, where we're here helping to answer some of these crucial questions. Purpose of life. Why are you here? Here on the Deen Show. Until next time, peace be with you.
Please subscribe to the Deen Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support the Deen Show by making a donation in the link below.